last thing you need is somebody trying to call you with some crisis or emergency.
At a hockey game, I was connected to the aux, and my mom FaceTimed me. Because she's the only one that, like, lets, like, I let Do Not Disturb and my dad go through, and I, like, didn't think she was going to FaceTime me, like, while I was at a game.
Oh my God, if I did that, it would not work.
And the ringer went through the arena.
From Reese Pfeiffer Hall in Tuscaloosa, another exciting episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. We get to talk with three of some of the hardest working women on the Grow the Game scene and the Alabama hockey scene in general. Get to talk about their experiences with their respective teams, their journey through their time here at the Capstone, and also one of the more interesting odd topics that we get to discuss with these three incredible guests. Welcome to everyone watching or listening around the world. I'm Spencer Thompson, joined by these three incredible guests and Caitlin Manning, Maddie Bloom, Natalie Pizza. Proud to be with you in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. First and foremost, this is very abnormal because usually we just have the one guest and we get to have all the three of us or whoever else are at the table get to banter off and bounce things back and forth. But with the rest of our guests, co-hosts, they're able to take off this week and to relax a little bit. And as we know, we love Savannah. She's fantastic. And she told me when we were starting to do this podcast and interviewing people, she's like, we got to get people from the men's hockey team involved. We got to get other staff members and get as many other guest people as we can have. And she was very heavy on the recruitment phase and getting you three on this podcast. And I've always told people I am fine with being overruled on things. Not that I had any objections, but I am fine with being told, especially when it's the right reasons, hey, we need to get these people on the podcast. I'm like, all right, I defer to you on that, Savannah. We are absolutely good. So first and foremost, appreciate you all blocking out your schedules to be here. It's, especially knowing the hard work that you all put in behind the scenes and the other things you do around not just the hockey scene, but around Grow the Game. It's amazing to see, and appreciate you all taking the time and looking forward to the conversation.
We're excited.
Oh, absolutely. So let's start out, as you know, because you are avid podcast listeners, and I know you were saying earlier, you're like, I'm excited to be a podcaster. This is absolutely fun, but... But especially, you know how I've asked this to Savannah and Mia and all our other guests, and I quote our colleague Ian Eagle, you could talk to 100 different people about their journey in the sports media realm or in this industry about how they've gotten to where they are today, and you would get 100 different answers, and that there's no cookie cutter way to get to where you are. So I'll start with you on this, Maddie. What has the journey been like for Maddie Bloom from the moment you knew that you wanted to be involved in sports in some capacity to now being a front runner in directing the game day operations as well as directing the media side for the men's hockey team?
Yeah, I have a very interesting path. My big called me up one day and said, do you want to come to Birmingham to watch?
Which sorority?
80 Pod.
Okay.
I'm Jim Miller.
Not my favorite one, but
it's not mine either. But MJ Miller is literally the most amazing person on this planet, and I was a sports hater from like the day I was born. I was a book kid. You could not catch me playing any sport, being around it. I thought it was dumb. I would make fun of my brothers for playing it. And my babe was like, you need to come to the rink. I have no one to go with, and I don't want to go alone, and you'll love it. And I was like, okay. And I get there, and she sets me up with a camera, and she has me doing the mic'd up for the night, and it was... literally instantly, I was like, I know this is what I need to do. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. It was so much fun. The boys are so great. They're so welcoming. Like, I feel like a lot of sports teams, you come and you don't really get to know the players, and they're all like, hey, I'm this person, I'm this person. And my babe, of course, was MJ. She's amazing, and she's best friends with all of them. So it really helps kind of get the introduction. And then that was my freshman year. And so I started interning for her under broadcasting my freshman year. So sophomore year, I was a media intern for ACHA, and then I moved into assistant head of broadcasting, and then now I'm the director of media. I'm so excited. It is amazing. It is so much fun. And then when the women's team was started, I really wanted to get involved, but I was pretty busy and just didn't really have time. And then this semester, Sav, I was like, I need to get involved. I need to be on this team. And she was like, well, come do game day ops. And now I'm doing it and I'm loving it and it is so much fun and the girls are so great.
Oh yeah.
Every game is amazing and hopefully this will be my career, fingers crossed. Hire me.
I do want to clarify, the only reason I say this not favorite sorority comment is because it has nothing to do with that. It's because when I was fortunate enough to help start the NSMA chapter here on campus, my four executives are all Pi Beta Phi. So shout out to Bella Martina, Ava Heeran, Gianna Lorito, and Summer Saunders, all incredible colleagues. Oh, isn't she incredible?
She is amazing.
Yeah, especially there were a couple of times where I've been behind the scenes on the football game days and with seeing her just running around behind the scenes and essentially, as I like to say, the whole doing her thing in that regard, she's one of the hardest working people. And not only that, I've never seen a moment from Gianna where she's felt burdened by being asked for anything. She is always just stay, help in that regard.
We spent our Fridays at Brian Denny for like hours setting up and Gianna, this is like a little secret about Gianna.
Oh boy.
She's a master at spacing out chairs. It's like insane because in the press box we have to space out chairs for the people. Mm-hmm. And Gianna, we have like a different number every game and they have to be perfectly spaced and Gianna can do it in like 5 minutes. And it's like amazing.
Well, fortunately, none of the rooms we reserved had to worry about that because we all have them set up. Well, now I know if I've got any banquets or weddings or anything like that. I know that another one of those, you know how on LinkedIn they have endorsements for skills and such? Yes. Spatial relations.
Spatial
That's
got to
be on our LinkedIn profile. So Caitlin, you're in the VP of communication side for Grow the Game.
Yes.
So same question to you of what has this journey been like from when you knew what it was you wanted to do to now helping grow the game in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I think I'm from Texas, so it's a very big sports scene.
Yeah!
My whole family, everyone in my family is in love with sports. So I always grew up knowing I kind of want to do something in sports. And then freshman year, I mainly just focused on PR and social media as a whole, not necessarily like specifically into sports. And then I went to a lot of the hockey games last year and I would talk to Maddie and Maddie was like, you should come work next year. And I was like, maybe I'll think about it. And then, so I ended up working for Aja. But last year I really got involved also. That's when I got involved with Grow the Game as well. It was super small. We didn't have VPs
so
last
small.
Year. It was just directors and a couple people on the committees, but last year was a really big year to like figure everything out and see how we wanted to run things. So being able to come in while it was so small, I think taught all of us a lot, and it was a really cool experience to be able to kind of build that. I'm trying to think what else. Freshman year was a lot of stuff happened freshman year that kind of propelled me towards sophomore year. So sophomore year, I was able to work for Alabama Athletics as well. So right now I'm kind of like working for every single sport on campus, which is super cool. So kind of just dipping my toes in everywhere, seeing where I like best. But it's been definitely not linear progress to get here. There's so many, it's also so competitive, especially at Alabama sports media. So just on the drive.
Actually, first time that I ever set foot in Texas was back in March. Went there on spring break, a buddy of mine. We went to Houston, went over to the Alamo, San Antonio, and then went up to Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we're a bit of coaster junkies, too, so we went to both of the Six Flags parks and everything, got to see the Alamo, and also went to the Space Center in Houston in that regard. So it's not a bad state. And obviously, the land of the Buckies is pretty much one was getting either constructed or it was within almost...
Every, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And it's now I've gotten on the Buckies train now. I'm not as crazy as some people who plan out their gas stops to get to Buckies.
Oh, that's my roommate. We plan.
That's one of my other broadcasts
in Birmingham.
Oh, no.
Why? Don't be a hater.
And I walked in, and I was like,
was that your first time?
What do you not like about it, though?
It is so overwhelming. The people there are so
interesting. It is overstimulating. I can understand that.
I can understand it is overstimulating, because you don't expect to walk into a gas station and think, oh, I could buy a grill here?
Yeah, like...
Someone tell me if anyone has ever bought a grill from Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
I see...
Yes. Grills, shirts, like sweatshirts, pajamas.
The merch side is fine. Yeah. Like, in terms of the Buc-ee's,
like,
going, that's fine.
I've seen, like Yeti coolers with Buc-ee's.
Now, is anybody... they've got homeware and a whole bunch of stuff. It's a mini store. Now, have any of you bought the beef jerky? Or any of you want a beef jerky?
No, I haven't. Such?
Okay. So I've been told by colleagues, I've had the beef jerky before. It's that you have to get the clear bag jerky that's supposedly better or more fresh, but you can also go up right to the deli counter and they'll give you it. It's pricey, though, but it's that fresh jerky. Oh, it's some good stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's
what we can go after any game or practice.
I was going to say, go after... It's on the other side of Birmingham, so just go to one of the other Buc-ee's there in that regard.
Yeah,
so,
let's
apparently
go.
She's already made a road trip in that regard. Natalie, in your case, you keep yourself busy on campus, as does everybody here on this panel, but in your case, you've got kind of a double role in your handling community outreach and directing fan engagement as well on the Grow the Game side. So in your case, what has your journey been like from when you knew that you wanted to pursue a career in this field and to where you are now?
So freshman year, I didn't even know we had a team. I'm from Chicago, so hockey was pretty big where I was from. And I grew up going to all of our Chicago Blackhawks games and things like that. And then I actually had a friend of mine in my sorority tell me that she works in the marketing department. Our departments now work very different. Mm-hmm. I started working back at the beginning of my sophomore year here, and I'm a senior now. And she was in the marketing department and was like, you should really apply for the media department. I think you'd really love it. So I did, and I interviewed, got the position. So I was an intern my first year, and quite literally at the first game, I was like, okay, this is something I can definitely see myself doing. I've loved hockey since I was younger, but I was never in a position where I was like, I want to work in sports. I kind of came in wanting to just work in social media in general. And then after my first year, I ended up entering my second year as a junior, and I was our director of media for that year. And I also just did a bunch of different things, whether that was doing promotional stuff for the team, coordinating community engagement events, helping with our marketing team for cup sales and stuff like that. And then after my junior year, that's when I actually had the opportunity to intern for the Chicago Steel back in my hometown, the USHL team that just actually got bought out by the Wurtz Corporation, who owns the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. So I did that all summer, and that was a very different atmosphere when working in sports, just because a lot of it was sales based and the inside of what working in sports looks like when you're not in season. So that was super interesting and really rewarding experience. But my sophomore year, when me and Savannah and Maddie Ratke, our other co-founder, we kind of came together and just started chatting about how inconvenient the location of the rink is.
Oh, yeah.
And how it's really upsetting to see how little students attend our games. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where our idea for Grow the Game started. We started calling it Build a Rink. That's what it was for a really long time until we became an official student organization here. But I mean, it has been a whirlwind. And then this past year, I work heavily with Maddie and Kate in the social media realm, but I also do just a lot of community engagement stuff with Acha, but also obviously with Grow the Game. We did Pie a Player recently. We actually have Paint a Player tonight at Ennis.
Right. That's right, yeah.
So that'll be really fun.
Tonight, as of the recording of this episode.
Yes.
It's going to publish tomorrow.
Yes.
So you'll see the aftermath on social media.
Yes, you will. That's going to be really fun. Me and Maddie are at a lot of practices doing TikToks and just planning ahead. We have a lot of promotional games, more than we've ever had in years prior this year. And then I'm actually working for the Blackhawks this winter break as a fan experience and engagement team member.
Oh, good.
So I'll go home, work for them for the games that they're hosting at the United Center. And then United
States. Yes, you know.
I just spaced out.
You got it.
I just spaced out. I almost said Fifth Third Arena. I don't know. That's I don't know why I almost said that. But yeah, I'll be working for them, and I'm really excited. I hope to be working in specifically hockey, but I do love sports enough to like branch out to like NFL and all of that kind of stuff. But it's been fun.
Oh, yeah.
Sports is the best. Right.
First and foremost, we name drop a lot on this podcast. We do a lot of shout outs, a lot of name drops and everything, because there are so many people who deserve it within the hockey scene. Like Madison Radke, great people. Like, absolutely one of the best to chat with and interact with. And especially, I love that the name shifted on from Build a Rink to Grow the Game, because you're more encompassing. And you're right. It's as much as we want to think that, as much as not want to think, but as great of social media team as we've got for Grow the Game and for both the men's and women's hockey teams, as great of passionate people we have and such, it's hard to convince people to drive an hour up the interstate, especially when there's no tied loyalty points and there's not really
Greek points.
You have some sort of incentives on like giveaways, but it's really hard to convince people to do those sort of things. So I guess from your perspective, is there any sort of, what's the progress like on trying to get an arena either on campus or here in Tuscaloosa?
Well, essentially, like when we kind of presented our organization to the university, they were like, well, getting a rink built here is a very long process. Yeah. It would take a lot of growth for the program first for us to get a rink here. Georgia just built a beautiful one on campus. But a lot of the time they just would say like, y'all are NCAA, y'all are a club team here. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have the space or like this, that, and the other. So it kind of just was like back and forth of like, okay, this needs to be like a program growing situation before it's like, we're just gonna build a rink on campus, or like we're gonna find a way to build a rink on campus. So from that point, when we became like an official student organization here, we were able to just start right off the bat, like fundraising events, percentage nights. Yep. We were posting way more than women's was created, and that was huge. And our D3 was created as well. And I mean, from then on, it's been a lot. Honestly, like the amount of people that have applied to work in Grow the Game and work in ACHA, AAU, D3, and women's is crazy to me, mm-hmm. because when we started, there was like 4 departments and like 3 interns in each, and like no one, my friends that I live with 12 girls, none of them.
They come cheaper by the dozen.
They would not have known that we had a team like at all if I hadn't started working, I don't think. Just only because they obviously play so far off campus, but like I really do think our organization as a whole has grown just like with word of mouth, with events that we host, with just word of mouth from us, and like being around them and bringing them around to people in our lives, and just all of that has really allowed people to be more intrigued in going to the games and participating in events. We have so much attendance at our community events now. We raised like for Pi a Player, like $575, and that was like a 5-hour time span. So many people showed up for that. We had an event at Rounders. We raised over $1,000 too. We had gotten there. I had gotten there a little bit later, and we already hit like the 1,200 mark by that point.
We hit in pre-bands alone. Before the event even started, we overhit.
That was really successful. And the nice thing too is like there's such a like there's so many different dynamics of people that work in Grow the Game that it's very easy for them to bring their like outside lives outside of hockey to these events, at least for me and them too as well. Like we have met so many different people. I can't even tell you, like, there are so many girls in my sorority that, like, have applied or reached out to me about working, and, like, that was, like, I would have never imagined that happening, like, 2 years ago when I started.
And that ties back, Kate, to what you were saying about how it is uber competitive on this campus to try and carve out opportunities and find ways to add lines onto the resume and get meaningful experience in that regard. And I was thinking about when you're talking about these fundraising sides and trying to bring awareness and everything, As VP of Communications, it's got to be frustrating when you see the Instagram account get taken down for the women's team. Yeah. Not once, not twice, not three times, but three, like having to create a fourth account and get that situated. Men's team doesn't have that issue.
I think we did.
You guys did?
Oh my gosh. I didn't know this. It was bad.
When was this?
This was last year.
Yeah, oh, goodness.
It happened so many times. We had like collaborations with Celsius at one point, and that was like the first time it got taken down, just because Celsius was like, this is like not correct branding or something like that, or copyright, I don't know. And then it just got to a point where like over the summer it was getting taken down, taken down, taken down. We couldn't use Alabama Hockey like as a username. It took us so long to get verified. It was like honestly really stressful. Like we were scared to post on Instagram for like what.
There's someone out there trying to.
Someone's preying on the downfall of our program's Instagram account.
That's at least what I've heard. I don't know. That's what I've heard. I don't think there's any specific person you can point to on that. But I mean, maybe there could be. But I think it's the challenge.
Probably a Georgia fan.
Yeah, seriously.
It could be Georgia. It could be Auburn. Could be one of the other competitions in that regard. But that's you know, that's the thing, is that you're trying to build something and you're trying to raise awareness, and then it just suddenly, you know, gets kind of cut from underneath you in that regard. And that's what I was wondering. I was like, is the paying for the Meta Verified check the reason that you haven't gotten taken down yet?
Yeah.
But problem is, you have to, especially with the teams starting, you want to start building momentum and getting people interested, and you can't get to the point of where you're paying every month for that verified check until you actually get the fundraising side. So because there's only so many pie in the face fundraisers you can do to, I mean, because Meta Verified ain't cheap. It's costly in that regard. I mean, we have to pay for this podcast to keep the lights on, so I mean, I know, but I didn't know the men's team had gone through that, so at least guys have handled some sort. Did you ever get in contact with anyone at Meta to try to get that
we
fixed?
Did. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do we pay for?
I don't believe we do.
Only because we are like considered like an official sports team at the university, like Alabama basketball, like Alabama BB, Alabama hockey, Alabama football.
Yeah.
I think it was when we were contacting Meta during that whole situation last year. We did end up getting verified this year, but we also did reach like 20K or 10K.
Part of the amount of followers on that factors in too. Yeah.
We have more followers on TikTok right now than Instagram. Our TikTok is great. Shout out me and Maddie. It was very stressful. We actually were lucky enough to have one of the players' parents who works very heavily in Meta and social media. So she was incredibly helpful during that process, and we were able to get it back, and we haven't had an issue this season at all, knock on wood. But
yeah, I'm sure you guys are all holding Mia Perez close, trying to comfort her during that process, because the amount of times where they posted on Instagram are like sick to my stomach or disgusting, and then we're back. It can get discouraging at times, but everyone's still pushing through is the big thing on that regard. Yeah. So, but speaking of pushing through, so as you know, we do a deep dive on people's LinkedIns and their social medias, or at least I do, and then Preston on the other side calls me out for it. But now I could dive into one of you had an experience as the marketing or social media manager for a Mexican restaurant in one of your towns. That was you. Don Toto's.
Yes.
I could dive in on the other stuff. It is, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, it is one of those. hey, it's part of the experience. You try to show everything, but no, you have to go down to the dig and such. Don Tano's.
Yep.
But I could go into the specific experiences with you all on those. But what impresses me most is that you were talking about, again, the whole competition thing. And one of my mentors, the radio voice for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders, Chip Walters, he told me heading into college that you want to get as much experience in as little time as possible, because that's what's going to make you competitive on the job industry. And all of you have a minimum of 10 experiences on your LinkedIn profiles, and where you have to go in and expand on it to actually look and see the kind of stuff you have. And you were talking a little bit about your experience, but I want to delve into this kind of, it's funny, you were a party manager at, was it Glitz and Glam Boutique?
Glam and Glitz!
We had several boutique
Shout
gigs
out.
As well. But it,
oh
yeah,
I loved
but,
it.
But it also gets into this idea of you have building blocks to get to where you are and be able to get to these executive positions, because especially, The thing that some people don't necessarily comprehend or realize, like, I'm the outlier here. I'm 25. I'm in doctorate school. So, like, I'm the outlier among so many different people in the hockey scene, at least in terms of the student staff members. You all are at the beginning of your careers, yeah, and you're in these executive positions, and you have to work really hard to earn not just that trust, but the right to be in those positions. So with these experiences sort of being building blocks, how valuable did you think those sort of early experiences and these other internships that you've been able to get have molded you to be primed, essentially, for your position with Grow the Game?
So, I mean, in high school, I was like always very, I'm just very outgoing. I could talk to a brick wall for hours. Everyone knows that about me. I'm a yapper. Yes, D1 yapper. Yes. But I think, like, when I started working as a party manager in high school, like, that was like my first job. And I was interacting with kids a lot. And the girls I worked with were in my grade. Like, I talked to them a lot. And then moving into college, I was a business major my freshman year, and then quickly realized I can't do math. So,
do they really require that much math in business majors?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like accounting. Shout out to the people who take OM. I don't know how you do it. My roommates take it. It's so hard. It looks terrible. It looks terrible. So shout out y'all. Y'all are great. But I think just like coming into college and like meeting the group of people I did, and then wanting to like dip my toe into like a social media opportunity, just because I like worked with like Zeta with our socials, but like I wanted to do something a little bit different. And then when Maggie reached out to me about it and I applied and got it, I was like, okay, like this could be something that I could really be good at in sports, because I know I have a creative thought process and mindset. So I knew I loved content creating, but I didn't know what it would be like in the sports realm. And then I ended up running our Instagram for the boutique I worked at over the summer after my sophomore year. And then I also interned for a real estate firm and did their marketing and social media as well. And that kind of made me realize just how much I liked socials in sports way more. I think it's just that much more fun. And I think that you have more of a creative like liberty to do a bunch of different things when it comes to sports on social media. But then my junior year with the team was kind of where my perspective shifted on like what I want to do in sports, just because I really liked the planning aspect of it, and like not necessarily like I love game days and game day ops, but I also just really love planning things that can be coordinated with the team. Mm-hmm. I love coordinating media days and like having us three be there and like us executing how we wanted it to look, I think is so fun and cool. So that was another big thing with Grow the Game. Like I went into it thinking I was just going to be doing social media at the time, because that's what I was doing for Acha. But then after just a lot of different experiences when working with Acha, I was like, okay, I really like fan engagement, community engagement. How can we make the experience for people coming to these games or coming to our events that much better? So that's kind of like where it shifted. And I think going through doing social media with sports was like super imperative for where I'm at now, just because social media is very niche, especially in sports. And I do think I'm capable of doing that in sports, but I think I, in doing it for a good amount of time, realized that that is something I would rather put behind fan engagement, community engagement, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think it's super important to work in a bunch of different areas of sports, because you find out what you like and what you don't. Like when I did my internship with the Steel, we did a lot of sales and I liked it, but I was way more eager to learn about their promotional games, their sponsorships, their sponsorship packages, and like reaching out to the nonprofits that they have come into every game, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that would be like honestly my greatest advice to anyone wanting to work in sports is please pick and choose a bunch of different things to do, whether it's for a few months or for one season, because it really tells you like what you're best in and what you want to do the most for sure.
Yeah, we need to get you connected on campus with there's the director of fan engagement, Kenzie McMahon, with the Alabama Adapted Athletics Program.
Okay.
And a lot of the stuff you're talking about is exactly what she does.
Yeah.
Thinking about how do we keep fans interested? How do we help our booster club and keep them engaged with the program and everything? So I need to connect you two so you can learn from her in that in that regard. But anyone who says that Kate Manning is not busy is a liar or doesn't know about her. Because when I look at the four or five different things you have in your header on LinkedIn, you're busy. And I also know if there's anyone I trust with the aux cord, it's Kate, because she represents Sony Music as their college marketing representative.
We go to concerts together and
Why not?
We all have the same taste, I feel like.
What do you know about
Antio? Yes. We're EDM heads, if you didn't know.
Closest I get on the EDM side is Daft Punk. That's the closest I get on there. But that isn't even really EDM.
So, there's a song, Do You Know Where Your Children Are? You should listen to it.
Do you know where your
We took a long day road trip
to Atlanta.
Actually, after a Grow the Gay meeting, we all booked tickets for a concert.
Shout out Fred again.
Next day. And so we all crammed in a car and drove to a
My mom knew how many people I was driving.
Oh boy. Especially on the interstate too. Them Atlanta drivers aren't forgiving.
Lots of bonding happened.
Yeah, so much bonding.
We were blasting that song the whole ride back. It was great.
What was the name again?
Do You Know Where Your Children Are?
It's literally like, do you know the announcement they were like, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
It's that. And then it just repeats.
It's like 10 to change. It's 3.
Check it out. All of you.
The same feeling I'm having now with hearing that song name is like when someone says, you don't know the band Five Finger Death Punches. It's like if no one had heard of it.
It's
like it's very niche in that regard.
It's just like half of what we talk about.
It is.
So she doesn't feel comfortable with the aux cord. We know that.
I do. Yeah, you'd play that.
But similar to what I was talking to Natalie about on how there's these sort of building blocks, and I'm sure you could talk about a ton of products you promoted during the Mexican restaurant you worked at. but looking at the rest of your experiences on these sort of, you know, steps you had to get to where you were, and you obviously keep yourself busy with all the other organizations you've got, but from your perspective, what do you think were some of the more meaningful experiences that prepared you to be in this executive role?
I think my biggest like piece of advice would be, like you said earlier, kind of just get as much experience as you can. I've always knew I wanted to work in sports, but I know you can't, since it is so competitive, you can't get an in right away. Mm-hmm. So you have to build your resume first. And I think that is very clear on my LinkedIn, because I currently work for a cast company, so random, shout out Cast 21, but I've been working for them for 2 years and it's such a small company. So that has honestly been one of the most experience I've learned, because it's really like I am my own boss in that position. And it is for such a niche realm that has nothing to do with sports, but I use the stuff that was my first real internship also. So, and I still have it, which is crazy.
Means they like you enough to keep you around.
They like you.
My little baby project. So, like, I love seeing it grow. We have like 20,000 followers now, and when I started, we literally had like 6,000.
Oh,
so the growth has been insane, and it's something I'm so proud of, and I love it because the team is about like 10 people total, like engineers, CEO. Our CEO is also like the engineer, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So they really give me like total freedom and access to everything within that company. So that has been probably one of the biggest learning experiences, and it's been so fun. And I've been able to apply that to literally every other position I have, which I think is so cool, because it is like a cast company. You would think it has nothing to do with sports or anything, but that's what I also love about social media and PR in general. It's so transversal, and like you can go from working at a cast company to working for a travel company to sports, and it's essentially all the same idea, and you're gonna find success like from the same recipe basically. So I think Cast 21 for sure, and honestly, well, Alabama athletics is kind of what Nat was talking about. We don't have like one title essentially. Mm-hmm. We are sports information director assistants. So the SIDs, their job is filled with so much. It's so deep, and they do the social media, they do the blogs, the websites, the stats, like all these different things. So I think that job, I've gotten to learn pretty much every corner of every sport, which is so rare to find in one job. So that has been something that has honestly, I think, grown me the most. Also, you have to learn very, very quick in that job because there's weeks where there's like 6 games in a week, and you have to have everything ready, all the stats, and every sport is different also. So like, I would be working like on a basketball, men's basketball thing, and then I have to switch to baseball and all this stuff so quick. It really like gets you ready, I think, just for the real world, because you never know, especially in entry level jobs, they're going to like put you anywhere if they can. So I think I feel confident and prepared. And also going into that, I wasn't working for the hockey team. I wasn't working for any sporting event at that time. So I was so scared, like so scared. I was like, I have no idea. I don't even know what stats look like on paper. Like, I have no idea. But you really just learn. So like, you have to learn.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it'll stick. I was so nervous, but now I'm like, this last spring we had a tennis tournament and it overlapped with swimming and women's basketball, and those are the two SIDs for tennis as well.
Yeah.
So we had to run, the students, me and one other student, ran a whole tennis tournament from the back end to the front in for like a 3-day span. I think was like the moment I felt so confident and so proud that like, first of all, they trust us to like go run this. Granted, we have like a binder this big with like, what to do if things go wrong, but just being able to like feel confident that you know what you're doing and you can fix problems is a great, great feeling.
Oh my God, the greatest.
Yeah, definitely did not come easy. I've worked White House Black Market, Tropical Smoothie. My friends call me, what's her name, Remy?
Is it Remy? It's
that's
Remy.
That's her real name, I think. Trish. Is it? Wait.
Trish
from Austin and Alley.
Oh my God. Is it Trish?
No.
The PSO.
I'm out. I tap out on this one. I have no clue.
The character from Austin and Alley. She has a new job every day. Okay.
Yeah, that is you.
That is me. And I will find like the most random job and get it. It's just so funny. But yeah, I've worked like almost everywhere, but I would not have gotten the Alabama athletics position. That is the first thing they told me once they hired me. It was like, we were so impressed how like you also, if you want to work in sports, you cannot go in with the mindset where you're like, I'm only going to accept these internships. I'm only going to apply for sports.
Yeah, if you're only going to be working in sports, that's a terrible
So like, you have to go with an open mindset and just like go wherever the wind takes you. But that's the first thing they said to me. And I guarantee you, like, even if it's not in sports, any employer would love to see that you've just tried things out, tried, put your foot in there. And they're going to know that you learned all different things from all these jobs, which will help you in your new position.
And for anyone who is listening or watching this podcast, heed the advice of Caitlin here. The future job that you can get in sports media specifically, it's going to be marketing, social media, advertising, PR. Those are where the jobs are right now for the most part. So if you're thinking about what it is you want to do or what paths you want to go in, look at what these three are posting on social media, and you have a model example on that. But those are where the jobs are, on the PR side, marketing side in that regard. So, but speaking of jobs you would think would not prepare you for sports situations in that regard. If there's anyone that I can trust for coordinating a wedding, it's going to be you, because you have listed that you're still, it says currently to present, but coastal coordinates in that regard. And here's the thing, as I have been a part of three weddings.
Wow.
Because I'm
the youngest. 25 already?
I'm the youngest of 4 siblings.
Okay.
Both of my sisters got married in 2020, actually. So they were married during the crazy times of our society. And I was just in a wedding for a friend of mine back from elementary school. And I was actually one of her group, her not groomsmen, but like bridesmen. Yeah. So I gave a speech. I gave a speech at her her post ceremony. Shout out to J-Lo on that one. But it's if you know how to coordinate a wedding, you know how to help with game day. You have to manage that. J-Lo was not a bridezilla. Neither of my sisters were bridezillas. So that yours are.
But I will be probably.
But if you can manage the stress loads and you can be able to keep a level head during those, and you can make it in most any other job that comes to coordinating the operations or procedures and circumstances like planning in that regard. So if there's one skill that would stand out to me as an employer, would probably look and see, well, I've coordinated weddings before. So aside from that, I'm sure if you want to delve into it on how that's formed you to where you are, but you know, a lot of other experiences with your sorority on being their digital marketing specialist. I mean, I love that you wrote for her campus here in Alabama, because they do great work there. But from the building blocks you've had, which experiences have meant the most to you?
Well, I've been working in PR for 8 years now, which is, well, actually 9. It's kind of crazy. My mom owned a beauty and fashion PR company. Mm. So I've been interning with her literally since 8th grade. And from that, I met another PR company, which was June Collective. Mm-hmm. And I started doing events for her. And I knew I wanted to do events. So I came in. Actually, I wanted to be a surgeon.
That's a wide gap.
It's the craziest lore.
Well, because you remember listening with Kate, she went into to Bama with an idea of going into biology or being Dr. Aitchison. So same thing of like, it's just something about when you get into the medicine room and then you decide, you know what, maybe sports.
It's crazy. The lore is crazy. No.
That's crazy. I was so locked in. I worked for a hospital. I worked in their cardiac care unit, which is very like high stress, high everything. I'm very much
no wonder you could plan weddings.
Those are jobs I go for. So I go for high stress. I want to be sweating. I want to be like worried that it won't work out. So I worked in the cardiac care unit. I worked in an urgent care. I ran an organization that helped like children. So I was working with kids, just high stress, and then I started working in PR. And it's been said that PR is the most high-stress job you can have.
Oh, yeah.
My mom told me growing up, because my mom runs a beauty and fashion PR company. It's called Beach House PR. She's incredible. If you need a textbook definition of a girl boss, that is what you need to do. She's amazing.
She's awesome.
She always told me, like, you do not want to do PR. You do not want to do events. You do not want to do PR. You do not want to do anything social media. It is going to be so stressful. So that is exactly what I did.
You gotta go against the tidal wave a little bit.
So I started working for events, and I would do influencer events and PR, and then I led into meeting the wedding planner, Lindsay, who is literally amazing. And I've been working for her for about 3 years now, I think. And all of that has kind of taught me how much I love, again, the high stress environment. I love to be working in everything, and that has helped me so much in sports. I've worked in almost every realm of hockey at this point. I've done broadcasting, I've done media, I've done marketing. I'm the VP of fundraising and sponsorships for GoToGame, so I do like the finance side. And then I do the game day operations for women's. All of it is just making sure that you can be locked in, per se, in a high-stress environment. You have to be able to work with a team of people. You have to be able to, if something goes wrong, you need to be able to work with that. The amount of issues we've had with our Jumbotron.
The Jumbotron is the bane of my existence.
It's that bad, huh?
But I've never ran into an issue with it this season, and my parents were in town, and they have never, in the 3 years that I've worked for this team, they have not been able to come to a game because the weekends they come visit, there's just not games lined up, they're away. And my parents came to one because, I mean, I've been friends with a lot of the players for a really long time, and my dad has met them, so like he wanted to see them, my mom wanted to see them, whatever, and they wanted to see me work. So they're there, and this was our breast cancer game, so like it was a big game. Zeta's philanthropy is breast cancer education and awareness, so like we did a little like video kind of thing with them that I made, and it took me a substantial amount of time to create. And we interviewed our coach's wife, Miss Tina, who survived breast cancer recently. And we, first of all, had issues getting it uploaded onto the Jumbotron. But then we finally got it. So then we were like, God bless, this is amazing, we're good. We go to click it, to turn, like, to get it on the screen, and it's like lagging like I've never seen. There's a black thick line through it.
It's like a 3-minute video. It was playing on the jumbo board for like 17 minutes.
Yeah, so long. Then it crashed on us, and then there was a password.
We don't. The computer.
Yeah, we didn't know the password.
10 people. I kid you not. This
10
that works at the rink came. Brought like his.
Brought his kids. Brought his kids.
It was like
because the Birmingham Bulls, like we share, like that arena is theirs. So they helped us out, and we finally got the password. So we're like, okay. And the first period, it said Auburn on the scoreboard because we couldn't get into the computer.
Like, Maddie, how do you fix it?
Maddie was like, hey, can you change it? It says Auburn.
We were like, we know. We were like, we know.
We're trying.
And
so how much were you sweating during that?
Oh, my gosh.
You said it was great.
I couldn't even talk. Like, I couldn't even see my parents until, like, the third period because we were up there trying to figure it out. We finally got the scoreboard fixed, but the video, we tried again, didn't work. We had to like manually shut down the monitors of the Jumbotron. It's the bane of my existence. But that's the thing though, that was another really good thing about like the Steel is like their software. When I like, we had our prospect camp over the summer, their software for their Jumbotron in their arena is the same as ours. So coming back here, it was really like, we were really good about like, okay, if we're paying this money to get stuff up on the Jumbotron, we might as well use it to our best potential. Yeah. So we're doing videos, we're doing graphics, we're doing all this. And for it not to work, I was like,
oh yeah,
you've got to be kidding.
Hopefully they gave you some sort of statement credit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
No.
Yeah. But
it's okay though.
Anyways, long winded. That went back to what she was talking about. High stresses there. But
it basically, you learn in all of these situations, things go wrong. Mm-hmm. Example, Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Hockey players are very similar to Brad Celeste.
Yes.
They are divas.
They're divas. We love it. We love them so much, but they're divas.
Great way, divas. If something goes wrong, like, no, you're bad. And at a wedding, if something goes wrong, like, it's on you.
Yeah.
And so I just think taking all of, like, the event experience has taught me what to do in game day, and especially working game day offshore women's, I have learned that that is, like, my favorite thing in the whole world. I love setting up the merch table. I love doing all that. I love doing the stats. I love doing the music. I love the in-game stuff, which is amazing, because I learned that this year recently, actually. And I think all of that has taught me how to do that, but I do random things. I have, like, a very weird resume, so none of it's sports related until college.
So I know we have to, if you enjoy thriving in sweating during the game and all that, favorite Gatorade flavor?
The blue one, that's zero.
Light blue?
It's not a flavor, that's a color.
Light blue? Is it like fro?
It's like chemicals. It's like chemicals. I love it.
I know
I'm most, a cool blue, like dark.
It's like Windex.
Yeah, it's like
I love it. I know that most nobody says the actual flavors of the Gatorade.
Yeah, I don't know the
please
name
no,
of it.
Colors are not flavors. For all you listening or watching, colors are not flavors. That is cool blue is the name of the flavor.
It is?
It's
okay.
Not blue.
So it's but, called blue.
But you have to say cool blue, because you just say
it's cool blue. The dark one or the light one?
Well.
Whatever the zero one is that they have at the gas station right next to the room.
Yeah, yes. I am not the most qualified to answer your question.
Okay, that's okay.
The only reason I say that is because I'm colorblind. I'm red, green, brown, efficient in both eyes. Yeah. I got 20/20 vision. I am enjoying it while I have it, but red, green, brown, deficient. Do not start asking me what color is this. What color is this? It always
that's crazy.
Happens every time. But
that
no,
crazy.
I think what you're talking about. There's cool blue, and then I think the dark one is grape. I think it's there's a grape flavor.
See, I'm more of a blue pal kind of girl.
I'm a caffeine addict, so Celsius.
It's not an addiction. It's a caffeine dependency at this point because of how our industry is.
Yeah. I can't. I have to have more than 4 to 5.
I get like migraines.
A day. Okay. I thought you were gonna say in the morning because I'm like, if it's four to five in the span
she's
of like 8 a.m.
getting coffees before we get to practice that start at 9 p.m. 9 p.m.
I go work out. I drink another Celsius.
Oh.
Coffees throughout the day.
Yeah. Story time. So we were on the bus to the USC game for first time. Women's hockey team is traveling. Savannah, again, we love her. She overhyping talking about Celsius and how it's like this big drink that you have. Now, I shouldn't, but occasionally when I have very long work days, I have a Red Bull. And I try to wean off of those because I care about my kidneys. And so I used to do Red Bulls, but now I've gone to like the Starbucks espresso and cream, like the 10
ounce ones or something.
But we're on the bus and we, of course, there's a stop at Buc-ee's integrated for like the first 45 minutes. Yeah. And so I go in and I'm like, okay, let me try a Celsius. I look at that thing. What is it, like 120 milligrams of caffeine in a 12-ounce bottle? I feel sorry for your kidneys. I don't know how you can drink two of those in the morning and everything. So, just, yeah, but I drank, I think it was the lemon lime flavor. So I was slowly, I was slowly sipping it and trying not to, you know, go overboard, but I was also matching with water so it could flush out. Yeah, I'm glad to know my kidneys still work, because within an hour I needed to use the bathroom at the back of the bus. So my kidneys still work is the important thing. But it still was one of those, I'm like, how do you drink this stuff with that thing?
If I feel like a rush.
Did you just say they don't do anything?
They don't do anything.
What?
And they just prevent migraines at this point. And sometimes they do. I like to like actually like feel caffeine pulsing in my bones. I get a bang. And those they're so gross. Rain and I'll shake.
I haven't drank caffeine in like 3 years just because it's
good on you.
It makes me I like wish I could drink it just because like I feel like I can tell a difference when I used to drink coffee all the time. But I would get just so wired to the point where like I wouldn't sleep.
Well, I don't sleep, so
I know, you don't.
But I don't have time to sleep.
I don't I went to bed last night at like 3.
I'm on like 4.5, 5 hours of sleep.
All that
right
stuff
now.
And then
school. The caffeine side, if I have it after like noon on a certain day, I'm gonna stay up the rest of the night. I'm not like
really
jittery or anything like that, but it's just gonna
Celsius at like 7 p.m.
That's how my roommates are.
But I can go to bed, like, and I will go to bed.
Yeah, I would.
That's
stay
literally up. All my roommates.
I have chapter for KSI at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays, and I get one right after.
Yeah. I don't know how.
Say though, like I feel like I'm the most productive at night.
Oh yeah.
Like once it hits 11 p.m. and people are going to bed and I'm in my room, I lock in, and I could be up until 3 a.m. and get everything I need to get done in that time frame.
Yeah, I'm a night owl, but I'm also one of those where like it's mostly sporadic through the day of having to get things done. So I know that you said that the hockey players are a little bit of drama queens, the divas, whatever. Yeah,
we love them though.
Yeah, but certainly we would not be in this industry if there were not lasting memories and moments where you look back and realize this is worth it, this is what it is. So Caitlin, I'll start with you on this. Are there any moments so far with Grow the Game or any of the hockey teams that stick out in your mind of this is why I do what I do?
I can think of mine.
I think probably, well, I really loved when we did the shoot for breast cancer, some of the guys came, and Miss Tina, who is our coach's wife, Nat said earlier, that she recently survived breast cancer, and just like having them all around her, and it's really just sports in general, but especially our team and Grow the Game, I feel it's like a family. Like
it really is.
And that moment, like, I actually wanted to cry because
our coach was crying.
Our coach was crying. And it's just so much deeper. And, like, those are, like, their children. And so Miss Tina loves those boys with her whole entire heart. And seeing, like, that little family and community that we have, like, it actually just, like, it makes me so happy. And it's like that with, like, every team. But I really, really feel, especially working with other teams, the hockey team is so close and so like, I just love it.
I love them.
So, like, it's literally like a family, and like there will be moments like you fight, you like hate each other, you go through your stuff. But like at the end of the day, like seeing that, especially like we all love each other so much, and like no matter what happens, whatever, like we know everyone's gonna be there for each other. And so that was a really cool moment to see, especially like bringing the coaches involved and stuff. I love that.
Yeah, every game we were wearing the pink ribbons for breast cancer awareness, and now this is now, what is Thursday was Halloween. This is now 6 days of No Shave November. So not growing that much, but my family hates me on Thanksgiving when they see how disgusting it is. But yeah, so I try to do my part as well with supporting, because all of us have somebody who's affected by either breast cancer or prostate cancer or any other sort of things in that regard. But both of you immediately said, I have a memory. You know exactly what it is. So Natalie, what's yours?
Can I share two?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think any of us are going to protest.
My favorite memory for like Grow the Game was when we got our capstone award. Mm. We were given a capstone award last year for like best new student organization. Okay. Kind of.
It was the innovative.
Yeah, it was like the most innovative, like the most creative student organization that had been implemented here on campus. That was kind of where, at least for me, I'm sure Kate as well, we were kind of like, okay, this is like why we created this organization. Mm-hmm. Like, we're being recognized for all the hard work we've done, because the first like few months of it was a little difficult because we were just trying to get people to come and work with us and get the help that we needed, and us trying to like explain our mission and our like statements of like how we wanted to impact campus. With this organization, it was just really hard for people to like grasp it and understand. One, because they didn't even know we had a hockey team.
Yeah.
Two, because they just don't understand why hockey needs to be that important when we're in Alabama. So that was just huge. That was very much a moment where I was kind of like, okay, this is like where our hard work is paying off. It's going to grow further from here. And then I have so many memories with Acha. I've been with them for so long. My first day interning, I made an OOTD TikTok with, I remember all of them, Cal, Parker, Joe, Sextro, Nate, and Nick Reiniger. And Cal and Parker were rookies at the time. And I was a sophomore, but it was like my first day working. I was so scared. And Cal and Parker and I like just started chit-chatting, and we have been best friends ever since. I love them so much. But I would say one of my favorite memories was our Auburn game this year. We have played, we didn't play Auburn last season, but the season before we did, we beat them, obviously. But I would say this game against Auburn was just, it was so memorable. It was so crowded. The boys got to celebrate afterwards, and we got to celebrate with them. A big thing too that Kate was saying when it comes to like the family aspect of it is like, I love working for them so much because it's not like I'm working. It's like we're good friends with them, and they are so supportive of our work. Like, they are like, Coach Fairbanks was like one of the first people I contacted when I got my position offered by the Blackhawks, and like Joe and a lot of the guys on the team are just so supportive of our dreams and goals when it comes to working in sports, which is another reason why it's so easy to work for them and work with the team. And Coach Fairbanks is incredible when it comes to him understanding what we need from the team. Like, when we attend practice, he understands that when we're there, we need the boys to be cooperating and getting TikToks and doing questions, or us making announcements about upcoming events. And he understands the aspect of, we want this to be ran the way that like we hope to be running, like in the NHL or NFL or whatever.
He gets that what we're doing is pushing.
It's pushing us. Yeah.
I would be bent over the glass, like with my camera, doing like acrobatics, making sure he's not
Yeah. And then, like, seriously.
They need to do that cutout in the glass where they have like the door for sticking your camera lens in there. I've been talking with Logan Koss, shout out to him for the work he does with the photography, that and Noah Kessler. We've been talking about this. We've literally been talking about this anytime they're getting photos. I'm like, you getting good camera shots? He's like, yeah, it's just the glass is a little muggy.
Yeah, it's muggy.
It's like they seriously need to cut out that
something
small hole and just a little trap door so you can reach your lens in that regard.
Logan does crazy stuff. Like, he is not talking about his ideas.
He's great.
Again, we keep name dropping on this, but it's well deserved because Logan is
all
Logan
well deserved.
And Noah, good dudes.
The most insane video I've ever seen.
The woman's video.
The hype one,
amazing video.
Oh, yeah.
And if you would have seen him and Noah at media day on the ice, Noah at a point was laying on the ice on his back taking pictures of the girls Logan is like taking these crazy like spinning videos, and it was just so crazy. I'm like, what are you guys doing? And then he films it and he like posts it. Whoa. Also, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure either, but is that your favorite memory or is there a different one you're thinking of?
No, my favorite.
Okay. It's on the list.
Do we have like a shared collective memory where we've all three been somewhere?
Maybe.
Oh, I do recall us pulling a prank on the boys.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so we interns don't travel with the team just because they travel. They travel to the like Midwest or like they just got back from Oregon.
Yeah, I saw that.
Good job on the win, by the way. But they just travel very far. And I mean, personally, as a senior, like I want to be here as much as I can on weekends.
Disagree.
I love it here. I don't know why you just, like, we chat about this all the time. But I think it was, I forget which away weekend it was, but we went to practice to get a lot of content, and we did that. But the bus is waiting up. Oh, it was right before North Carolina, because we had loaded a bunch of donations that we actually got from a bunch of local families and players as well for Hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So we were loading that onto the bus, and we were like, should we get on the bus and tell them we're coming with?
We're gapping with the bus driver.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to make sure you ladies come. Like, you guys should definitely come on.
Coach Fairbanks was like, you guys need to come. Like, why aren't you? And yeah. And so we were like, let's do it. So we sit in the front two spots.
There's a made it, like, better.
Yeah, and we also like we carry like our tote bags to practice. So like it looked like an overnight bag or something. It looked like we were going. Yeah, we were in sweats. Like it was ideal.
It was
prank.
Trouble, like,
yeah. Yes. So we're sitting there, and I have like my like our phone like right here, and I have the boys just like. They're tired. They're like, oh, I have to get on this bus and just sleep. But they're like trotting up, putting their stuff in, and they start to get up and they're like looking and they're like, just like, some of them are like minding their business and are walking. So I have to say, are you excited for us to be on this trip? And they're like, what? Specifically Justin Heiler.
Oh my God,
he gets on the bus, he goes, no way. No way. No way. You guys aren't. No way. And then, like, Joe was like, what did he say? He was like, are you kidding me? And then, like, Parks and Garrett.
Ebo was, like, freaking out.
Ebo was like, yes. Mo got on, and we were like, are you excited? And he was like, you guys are coming? And he was like, we were like, yeah. And he was like, okay. Like, fine.
He was like, why are Maddie and Matt traveling with you? And I was like, what?
Yeah, no, it was really funny, and then we like got off the bus and
it was fun. I was like, damn, I want to go.
Yeah, no, it would have been fun. I want to travel to an away game. We're done here soon.
No, yeah.
Another semester.
Yeah, March.
Mm.
March 1st.
Yeah, the women's team does not get that excited when I was getting on the bus for that one. Now they get excited about Mia and about Savannah and the rest of the women's sets, which is how it should be. You said you had one more memory you may have thought of.
Yes. I thought of it when you said your first day interning this year. It was literally my first day, and Tao texted me I don't know how. It was promoting the Auburn game coming up. And Zeke texted me like, hey, can we write up a little press release, something to send out for like promoting the game to the local area, whatever. I write this press release, I send it to like a bunch of news stations and all this stuff in Tuscaloosa or in Birmingham. And literally like 5 minutes after I sent this email, we get an email back from, it was 3340.
I believe,
in Birmingham, a news station, saying that they wanted, like they had an open spot and would love for the players to go on the news and promote it. And it literally happened like total in a span of probably 3 hours.
It was so quick.
Zeke texting me and it was for the next morning at like 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. So I had to like write a bunch of questions and stuff and everything for them. But that was something I was super proud of. And I think that, I mean, obviously seeing the Auburn game after and how many people were there was amazing.
So many.
It was so many.
We sold out of all of our merch.
Oh, really?
Yes. We exceeded ticket sales.
Go outside of the doors to the rink to like tell people where to go. Like it was a mess.
It's a whole, yeah.
Yeah. It was so fun.
Seeing like, just being able to like, kind of see the finished result of that was really cool, and obviously seeing the boys on the news was so fun.
Oh yeah,
and that's they ate it up.
Experience. So like seeing your work come to life, because all PR is sending all this stuff, and you never know if it's gonna happen. So having like a press release actually happen was awesome.
Oh yeah,
and so rewarding. And wait, yeah, the Auburn game was so fun. What?
My memory's not with Acha.
It's what not? Is it?
No, it's a girl game.
Okay.
No,
no, it's not going.
He asked both.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Oh. I don't know.
Why are you like giggling at me?
Well, I hate kids. I mean, I need to start with that.
Great way to start.
Like, beautiful way to start.
Here's my favorite memory.
Yeah, no, this is a great favorite memory.
This is like
this was all three of us.
Starting, I literally hate kids.
We're driving in the car to this school, and she's like, I hate kids.
Yeah, she's like, I hate kids.
And we're like, we're literally in the parking lot.
But no, but then we proceeded to say, do you want kids? She said, yes, I want kids.
My kids are my brothers.
Oh,
but we get to this morning.
That's a whole nother argument. That's that's a whole different episode to talk about.
Yeah.
That point.
Well, this is Learn to Skate for games. So where we go to the schools and we teach kids how to skate. And they wanted the VP there for one day. And I was like, great, I have to go to a school. And I'm like, what? We get to the school. And literally, these kids are the greatest thing ever. They are so cute.
And they were so cute.
And
oh, this was so cute.
This was actually really cute. And I do have, like, I hate kids, so that is a very big part of it.
I like how she's repeating it.
And I became besties with this little theater kid.
Aww.
And she was so meat-coated, and she was just the cutest thing ever.
Well,
so
as soon as we get there, there's this girl, little girl
sobbing.
In the corner. Maddie looks at her and goes, I need her. And she goes to the top,
yeah.
And she hates sports. And I was like, you're so mean.
No, she didn't hate sports. She was upset. You were losing.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. But we're leaving, and I go and I give this girl a hug.
Aww.
So she hugs me, and then another kid comes up.
So it's a whole group.
She gets swarmed.
My children.
It was swarmed. Half of the class.
Yeah, I have a video of it. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
But I was like, this is why we do what we do. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They were like, and it was very much like a moment where you could like tell that they were like looking at us and being like, oh my god, they're so important.
Yeah,
like, yeah, like, oh, you, yeah. you could just, yeah,
because you never know which kid in that crowd is going to be you one day.
Right.
You never know which one is going to be you who's in that role or getting into the sports realm or wherever it is. You don't know which one's going to be the next Einstein.
That girl was crying because her team was losing.
No, she
yeah, we need her. Yeah. Her dedication.
Yeah.
She loves it.
She, at least in this moment, she doesn't thrive under pressure. No. Or she doesn't want to sweat as much as you do.
No.
She does not want to go to the wedding
world. You may want to acquire that skill throughout a lifetime or something like that. I did want to bring up, because this is a topic near and dear to me, at least, because believe it or not, I have a long history of women in my family. My mother is a woman. My sisters are women. I'm pretty sure my grandmother is a woman. You know, if I have a daughter or daughters, I think they'll be women because I'm a carrier for that gene. Sure, maybe. Who knows?
But yeah, maybe.
No, the reason I say it is because, and I mentioned earlier with the NSMA chapter of how I was the only male executive on the board. I was the president, and then the rest were all Pi Beta Phi and the incredible women I got to work with in that regard. And when those elections went down, I told them all that this is fantastic for the industry, that I'm the only male person, because there's a lot of me in sports media, and especially in sport, and it's changing. It's not where it needs to be, but it's getting close to that in that regard. And I know, especially with not just Grow the Game, but with the women's hockey side, that there's a lot of this emphasis on promoting women in sport and promoting them in not just on the rink or on the field and the court, but it's also behind the scenes on the administrative sides. And I know I've mentioned it before in the podcast, we could go on and on and on about Girls Club and all the great work that they do with all your involvements in that. But I'm interested to know from your perspectives, and I'll start with you on this, Natalie, in that there certainly the sentiment I've heard a lot from the women I've gotten to work alongside in this journey is that it there's a lot more challenges that come with it and trying to, because they're, whether it's right or not, there's a higher level of scrutiny when it comes to women in sport and trying to be on their game and be perfect in that regard, because otherwise you'll have inconsiderate people try to rip you down in that regard. So I'm wondering what challenges you've been able to overcome as you've been trying to not only make a brand for yourself, but keep the narrative at bay that says, sport is not for women, or you shouldn't be in sport. How have you felt you've been able to overcome that narrative, if you've ever felt that's been a pressure?
I don't necessarily would say I was ever put in a situation where it felt like I, because I was a woman, I wouldn't succeed. Good. But there has definitely been times where I've expressed my dream of working in the NHL and my goal of working in the NHL, and I've had people that were considerably close to me say, like, that is very difficult. I don't think that's going to be something you can do right out of college. You're going to have to do this, this, and that in order for you to get there, or, like, you're not going to be able to work with an organization or a corporation of that capacity right out of college. You're working for a club team right now. I'm laughing at you now because now I'm working for the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
But I think it's just really important to, like, be confident in the fact of, like, I don't need to be, like, the biggest sports, like, fan advocate, this, that, and the other, in order to work in the industry.
Right.
I think if you have a really good passion for sports, it makes it a little bit more enjoyable. But as you start working in the sport you're working in, you just learn to love it. Like, I've loved hockey, but I know if I were to work in football, I would love football more and more as I work for them. But I do think it's super important for women just to kind of be a little bit more confident in the fact of, like, it's only male dominated if you choose to look at it that way when it comes to working in the industry.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is really cool to say that I work in the sports industry, because that's something that takes a lot of people back or by surprise. Especially when I say, like, I work in hockey here, they're like, what? We have a team? And then I explain it.
Yeah,
we have four.
Four, yeah.
Especially too, when, like, we are very football and basketball dominated here. I think it's just really fun to be able to say, I work in hockey here, and our programs are really great programs. We have a lot of great staff members in these programs. And I, like, Alabama is just so great at sports that why wouldn't you want to go to a game?
Oh, yeah.
When it boils down to that. But we have so many women that work for all four of our programs. Mm-hmm. So many. And I think it's even greater to see how many more people have begun working for our programs over the course of the 4 years. But like I said, Girls Club, I did a lot of PR with them my junior year, so last year. And the amount of women that have been able to succeed and get into as many of these internships, organizations, and just the array of opportunities that we have here on campus, and then further go on to professional teams is great to see, for sure. Just because after someone said that to me, I was like, okay, like, maybe it is really hard for me to get a position in a professional sports team. Like, maybe I should just, like, not let that. And I called my dad because it had been, like, 2 weeks after my interview with the Blackhawks, and he was like, maybe for now, just, like, assume you didn't get it. And then I opened, literally the next day, I opened my email, and they were like, congratulations. So I was like, okay. Like, and I think too, when it comes to these kinds of positions, you just gain more and more confidence being, like, a woman in this industry.
Yep.
And that's another thing too, like, how we're talking about how much the boys are supportive. Like, they've never made us feel like we're less superior to any staff member that's a male or any of the players. Like, they're extremely cooperative, they're super supportive, and they think it's, I mean, all my friends are like, girl boss, they're girl bosses. Like, it's fun. But I do think to any like younger girls that like really like sports and grow up watching sports are less inclined to want to work in sports because they think it's male dominated. Right. So my advice to those girls is don't do that. Just if you love it, you love it, and you should just go for it. But
yeah. And that one person who tried to tell you that it's going to be really difficult, that's what we call bulletin board material.
Yes.
Prove them wrong.
Yes.
Either that or put it down on some note card or something. You look at it every day you wake up and go into your position and such. Yes. I think Natalie very well comprehensively covered
rapped.
It.
However,
I want to make sure, Kate, if you have anything from your experiences or you'd like to add on to this kind of subject of any challenges that you may have faced or any sort of reassurance that you've gotten to where, well, this isn't necessarily the correct narrative.
I think Nat touched on it, but confidence is probably the biggest thing being a woman in sports, and gaining that confidence is hard, but once you have it, you honestly, like, especially with in basketball, I'm going to talk about basketball a little bit, it's literally 89% male.
Yep.
In basketball, specifically, the people I work with in basketball. So going in as a sophomore, having zero clue what a stat sheet looks like, how to edit open InDesign, no clue. I was just like thrown in there. And so at first I definitely felt that and felt a little bit discouraged walking in the room as a young girl. But as you get and do these positions, you're gonna naturally, one, gain confidence and learn enough to where you feel confident to like step up to these people. The people I deal with, like the media people, they have been doing this some for like 20 years. And it's little old me's job to walk in there and like tell them where to go, what to do, all this stuff. So at first I was like so terrified to do that. I would be like, hi guys, like, can you please go over there? Like, I didn't know how to like command a room, essentially. Sure. I think that's the best way to put it. But now coming into this year, and you also like meet people, which mm-hmm. is like I think sports again is such a tight-knit community. Everyone knows everyone. And so like now I'm best friends with some of the media people who are like 65 years old. I'm like, hey Joe, like come over here now. And he's like, okay, Kate, like it's just so fun. Like once you work in things and you meet people, you know people, and you feel confident and comfortable. And I've never had someone like straight out put me down for wanting to be a woman in sport. Good. And I think it's also really important to find people who have done what you want to do. Like y'all are, they're a year older than me. So they're kind of like my big sisters in a way.
Yeah, don't make me cry.
She was talking about it. People were crying earlier. There's a kid crying, coach crying. Now everybody's going to start crying in school.
Yeah, that's really cute.
They're like my big sisters, and especially with hockey. I've never worked for a hockey team or anything, but they've made me so comfortable. Don't cry.
Not crying, you're crying.
Seriously, like finding, especially Savannah as well.
Oh, yeah.
Been like the biggest big sister to me. So finding those people, and there is girls, especially any girl in sports wants to help younger people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like they will be so quick to do it. And if they're not, stay far, far away from them. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you, like any girl would want to help you and like walk you through what they've done. So I think mentorship is a huge part, also gaining confidence. Like they have taught me so much about hockey, and now I have that confidence in hockey specifically, but just learning that like, don't doubt yourself. Like other people are always gonna doubt you no matter how successful you are. Especially when you're successful, they will doubt you and want you to fail, but just be confident enough in yourself. And I think a lot of that also comes from these random experiences and like learning how to plan a wedding. Like all these random stuff is gonna gain.
How to market enchiladas on the weekends.
Yes.
How to market the next outfit at a boutique.
Yes.
Things like that. So.
Like all these little situations and everything you're involved in, even if it's completely unrelated, will give you that confidence and instill that mindset in you that like you have dealt with this before, you know you can deal with anything coming your way. So it does take time and like getting a grip of a new place or a new sport or something, but with confidence and big sisters. You can do it.
Of course. Anything that you would add from your experiences onto the wonderful points that have been made thus far?
Yeah, I've actually faced quite a few challenges being a woman in sports, specifically when I was working for broadcasting. Mm. When you look at hockey games and you look at any sports teams, you don't hear a girl in the PA. You don't hear a girl saying penalties. You don't hear a girl on the mic talking at all. It's a stigma. It's something that personally I think should be done with. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what the issue is having a girl talk versus a guy talk.
Yeah.
But I've had quite a few times when we did not have a male PA to say something, or we didn't have someone to do it, and not being allowed to do something because of a girl. And I think this year things have changed completely.
Yeah.
However, in the past, it's so hard because it's like you would rather do something lesser purely because I'm a girl.
Yeah.
Like, you would rather not have someone say something just because if I got up there and said it, it would cause an issue. And I think that changes with just getting more people involved, getting more girls involved in the industry, getting more girls who want to do broadcasting, who want to do in-game things, who, I mean, you have girls on the news, you have girls speaking, but do you have girls on broadcast? Do you have, when you're listening to a football game, do you have two girls sitting there, or is it two guys? Like, just getting more women involved in the world will change all of this, and I think it's really cool that we're kind of in the era that is going to be changing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just the start.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's our parents never saw this.
No.
Anyone before us, and we're going to be stepping into this field as the minority, as a woman, and coming out of it, I don't think that's how it's going to be.
Oh, sure.
Which is really exciting.
I agree.
But in case it has not been said already, fantastic PA announcer right here. She has been great. Now, I will say, take it with a grain of salt, because most of the time I can't hear her through the headset, and it's also because of the PA system and such. But at least from the bits I've heard, where if I miss somebody who's calling for a goal, I take off the headset, I'm listening, I'm like, yes, she killed it. Or I think the term is slay. Yeah, she slayed.
She
slayed with
she
it. So, but
yeah, I'm sure the
first,
I fear.
Hopefully not the first, but at least one of many times where people will say, "Yeah, yes, fantastic on the PA side." I'm sorry you had to go through that too with like the stigma on it, because you're right. There's this sort of narrative now. I at least from my perspective, I'm glad that we're past the. Well, what do you know about sports? And then quizzing you on anything about NFL facts or stuff like that. For the most part, I've seen that go away. There's still people who do that, but it's still, I'm glad that we've kind of gone away from it, because it's again, this, we're kind of in a better place. We're not exactly where it needs to be. And you're right. It's a privilege to be a part of this generation that is transcending that and going in a different direction to where necessarily, like, I might be the minority in sports going forward. And that's an okay thing. I'm comfortable with that, especially because it's been the reverse for so long in that regard. But hopefully you don't have to deal with that stuff anymore.
It's changed so much in the last
And especially it goes back to what you talked about and what has been talked about this entire podcast about the family idea, where it's just you've still got people who are supportive around everybody, no matter what role you're going in. And I like what you said as well about the walking into a room and not necessarily knowing about status. And especially in your position, sometimes it can be difficult to ask that question forward, because you don't want to, especially because we were talking about this building your brand and trying to make sure you walk into a room and not, sometimes you have to command it, but sometimes, you know, show confidence. Yeah. It can be really difficult sometimes to ask of like, hey, how do I work a statute? How do I do this stuff? Because then you have people questions like, well, if she doesn't know, is she qualified, and was this, you know, did they just hire on without doing their checks and balances? So that had to be, you know, kind of intimidating for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think we have like a normal office hours type of deal. And starting last year, that's another thing with sports. You're going to constantly learn something because you have to find all these stats, all this new stuff. You have to go into archives, look at past games in case you beat this record, whatever. Like, every day is gonna look different. So that's kind of what I learned with that job specifically. It's okay to have questions, and it's okay, because if you ask a question, you're just gonna learn more. It's not hurting you in any way at all. And that's showing that you want to learn and want to help instead of pretending like you know what you're doing and then it all goes wrong and it makes the day worse. But I think sports specifically, questions are so, so important. Last year I was so annoying, probably. I literally asked questions about every single thing, because communications as a whole is so, so deep, especially now it's getting into like the times where advertising's kind of shifting into social media, PR and advertising, that line is getting super, super blurry with social media now. So having a communications position, or really even a marketing position, you have to learn how to do everything in that realm. You have to know how to write blogs, you have to know how to edit this AP style, and you have to be like a little graphic designer, you have to know how to edit videos. Like, it's this whole toolbox you need to have. So I think growing that toolbox in any way you can is amazing. And so I would literally just ask questions about every single thing, because that's what I had to do essentially. And again, like mentorship, like the girls like older than me in the office never like made me feel stupid or anything for asking a question. They were always super helpful. And I think that's just like the most important thing as this industry grows, or as women in sport grows, is to have and keep that mentorship. Because I feel like the sports industry as a whole is very competitive, but it's very important to keep it the woman side, like, friendly in a way. And know, like, I think that's also a thing you learn as you get older, is that it doesn't, not everything has to be a competition. And like, yes, it is at the end of the day, but when you treat it as such, it's not going to work in your favor, because everyone else is going to not like you essentially. But like, having those friends that will like, and mentors in your field that will cheer you on, and like, they ultimately want the same thing as you at the end of the day, but you're helping each other, learning how to grow. And I think it, like, the team and community aspect just makes everyone better at the end of the day, compared to, also that's why I love working for teams in general, not like promoting one product per se or one brand per se, because you really get to go in depth with each player, learn something new about them every single day. So there's always something to learn in sports PR, sports communication. So questions are so important, and now it's rewarding to be able to answer people's questions. And so like, the new people that came in this year, they're doing the same thing I did, asking all these questions. And because it is so confusing at first, and like, every office also is different. So even like, you could have so many years of experience, but start a new job and like, feel like you're at point zero again, because every office is going to train you different. We had a bunch of people come from recruiting side of football to our office, and they had like no clue what they were doing, and we were like, that's exactly what we want, like, let's run through the whole thing. So I think it is scary at first, can be scary, but I think it's important, especially for like the juniors and seniors like us that are going into the industry, to keep that spirit and like, of wanting to help the younger people. And I think that will get women in sports a long, long way.
Well, we need to get you three to the National Sports Media Association banquet this summer, because the amount of incredible colleagues you would get to meet to have those mentorship opportunities are available there. I'm a huge advocate for the NSMA and the work that they do out there. But we need to get you guys to that convention over the summer, so that way you can broaden the horizons and meet with more people in the industry and get you those jobs right out. So, time for the odd topic. So we were trying to figure out what we were going to talk about beforehand, and they just kind of went along with my suggestion in this regard. So we'll go with it. When Maddie first got the assistant director of game day ops role with the women's hockey team, we have our group texts with the executives and such. And Savannah, again, I think the counter is like 5 Savannah mentions at this point, maybe it's almost to 10. But she said of like, hey, everybody, this is Maddie Bloom. She's going to be our director of game ops, everything. And me, because my brother is already in the dad puns era of his life, and I looked at her name and I'm like, okay, and I can't remember the exact way I phrased it, but I said, this is my one pun for the year. We are going to blossom with Maddie on the team because of Bloom being in her name. And all I got from her was just I love this. And I was like, okay. I'm like, all right.
She loves saying that. Yeah. I love this.
Yeah. It made me feel so good. I was so worried. I came in a little bit later in the season, and like, I think you were like, oh, this is gonna like bloom into something.
Yeah, it was something like that.
And it was so just like welcoming and loving. And I was like, oh my God.
Okay. I'm glad it was interpreted that way because I just saw like, hey, I love this. I'm like,
I love this.
I love this. Like, I love this period. Like, there's like, okay. I can't even explain how much
like, yeah.
Yeah. I posted it on my private story. I was like, this is
okay.
the greatest
text
I've ever received. I sent it to my parents.
Like, okay. I'm glad it went over a lot better because like, you were the only one who reacted. Nobody else like gave even like a laugh reaction or something like that. But yeah,
I wanted to meet you. I was like,
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But anyways, with that, Maddie's last name is not the only one that has some sort of like pop culture significance and or pun sort of situation to it. I mean, certainly with Natalie's side, I mean, your last name, I'm of Italian heritage.
Okay.
So when it comes to talking about pizza, you're literally speaking my language. It's like pizza is a second language to me. But the kind of odd topic question was like, if there are any worst jokes that were made with the last names or ones that stuck out to you, because again, we were talking about that bulletin board material, mm-hmm. like if certain people, you know,
yeah.
say certain things, then you use that to motivate yourself to be better. So I'm wondering, is there any that sticks out in your mind about times where people have used pizza in some sort of context?
So actually, funny enough, my great-grandparents came to America from Italy, and they didn't know how pizza was going to be like, taken as, I guess. Mm-hmm. So we actually pronounce it Pisa.
Pisa, okay.
But I never correct anyone. I think pizza's way cooler. and it's spelled pizza. If it was pronounced Pisa, it would be like P-I-E-Z-A, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. But I get called like pizza slice. I get called...
That's where home slice goes to a whole different meaning.
Yes, like I get like, hey, pizza slice. I get like... Peaser, I get from Joe specifically. I get, I mean, just straight up pizza. Or like, like pepperoni. Like,
you send her songs with like the lyric of pizza.
Oh, yeah. I know. She loves it. Yeah, I know. I love it. But yeah, I mean, no one ever really calls me. I mean, people call me by my full name sometimes, but I'm always just like either Nat or they just call me pizza mm-hmm. or, I mean, the first day of school was always just a field day.
Yeah.
My
teachers, oh, yeah.
So.
Have you ever walked into a room and said, did anyone call for a pizza?
No.
You need to use that.
Growing up, like, we would, like, my parents would call to get, like, pizza ordered for pickup, and they'd be like, last name, pizza, and they'd be like, stop calling us, like, please stop calling us, like, we don't take, and we would be like, okay, so, I don't
at that point, you say no to Papa John's, you go to Domino's, yeah, at that point, like, or whichever brand it is.
I mean, now we do, like, homemade pizzas a lot. My dad, like, makes homemade dough. It's, like, my favorite thing we do ever. Pizza at the pizzas, we love it, but, I mean, yeah, that was, like, a big thing. Growing up was, like, first day of school, and when we would like try and get pizza. I personally think if I were to go in there and show them my ID, they should give me like a free pizza.
Oh yeah, that should be pizza for life. That's an endorsement deal waiting to happen.
Yeah.
You need to go to one of these corporate marketing sections, which you're going into PR and marketing.
Right, yeah.
That was like how Robin Williams named his daughter Zelda and Nintendo started sponsoring her, doing promotions for the games.
So. I don't want my husband to, I like really want to keep my last name.
Have him take on your last name.
I know, that's what I said. Like, I feel like if my husband's like just as cool as I am, like, he would get it.
Yeah.
Well, because then if once you get married, then you could say a pair of pies. Oh, you guys are a pair of pies.
That is such a good wedding hashtag.
Your kids,
a pair of pies.
Your kids can be pie slices.
Yes.
They can be little slices running around and everything.
Yes.
So.
Well, I have like I have my little digital camera and I have like my second account where I post all of it and it's called Slice of Pizza.
Ah, okay. It's like a little slice of my life. So you're playing into it and such. Okay.
Oh my gosh, I play into it so much.
Okay, good. Good. So I've given you more ideas. I hope I was not the first one to use any sort of bloom or blossom on that regard.
I get it all the time, but I'm a first and last namer.
Okay.
So I'm not like Maddie or Bloom, I'm Maddie Bloom.
Okay.
The boys like to say Maddie Bloom whenever I walk into a room, or Bloomer. get that one a lot. And anything flower related, I get hit with. Orlando Bloom.
That's, yeah.
I was a big, like, he's in Lord of the Rings, right? Yeah, I was a big Lord of the Rings person. And so I was like, Orlando Bloom's my cousin.
Stop.
You just start using that.
Or Winx Club. I was a big Winx Club girl, okay. Bloom, but there's so much you can do with it.
Have you ever tried Bloom Shake the Room?
No, but now I will.
Okay.
Wow. That's
a good idea.
Yeah. That, you could try Bloom Box, too. Okay. You can do something like that. The ideas have now flowed out of the head. Blooms.
They're really cool, yes. too. I like so would. And then
that's it, so it ends with us. Yeah.
Because her name is Lily Bloom. And I'm like, well, now I can't do that.
That's a great.
Well, you see, you could do Triple B, Bloom's Blooming Business.
Oh, I love
Triple B.
That. Love
so
that.
I use that.
Triple
yeah.
B.
Yeah.
I love anything Bloom is.
BB.
Now your last name. Oh, that works. That is perfect.
BB. So,
that is perfect. Now, Kate, on your last name, yours isn't necessarily on pun of like the pizza and Bloom side, but I have a feeling, if you haven't used it at this point, you should try to associate with Eli or Peyton or Archie on the Manning side. Okay, like so that has been used. Yeah.
She, one of the first few times, she's like, yeah, I'm related to Peyton Manning. I'm like, huh?
It always comes up somehow when I meet someone. In middle school, I was like set on it. Like, I never told anyone it wasn't true. So, like, it was the only
Bye.
Thing. Like, and at middle school, like, they probably like actually thought it and like didn't like. Think look it up or something. But it was so funny, and I remember specifically there was this one boy in middle school who was like loved NFL football, loved Peyton Manning, and he would like ask me questions about Peyton Manning's like life and everything. And be like, so like he asked me what type of dog he had, and he was like, does he have any pets? Like, he was just trying to learn every single detail of his life. So I would literally sit with this kid like at recess and talk to him about like this
stop.
And it was so funny. I had like my best friend in middle school, like my little best friend, and she knew it wasn't true. So like we got the biggest kick out of this.
That's so funny.
But I told him he had a Great Dane, and like I just made up like all the stuff about Peyton. It was so
That's so funny.
That's
funny. So that was like I think middle school was the most time for that. But high school, because I grew up moving a lot, so I moved like 6 times. So I went to a lot of different, I'm always the new kid also. So like I had to give like my little speech of who I am, whatever. And then without a doubt, like a boy in class would stand up and be like, are you related to Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
And I
said, just say yes.
And that happened like all in middle school and high school. And I would just be like, yeah. And then they're like, wait, really? And I'm like, yeah. And then they'll like eventually figure out that I'm not.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a fun. It's good working in sports though.
Oh, yeah.
When football games, especially, we do, sometimes I do the media will call. So like giving media their passes and everything before the game. And there will always be like some NFL scout that sees my name tag and just will talk to me for hours about like Manning, Peyton Manning, anything. Sometimes they don't even ask me if I'm related.
They just assume.
And at that point, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, like I just run with it. But maybe we're related in some way.
Imagine if there's someone who's actually, if Peyton actually had a sister. Like, imagine being the sister of the Mannings. Like, you would have, you talk about this idea of building a brand for yourself and trying to stand, you would really be in the shadow of the three brothers, especially because I know we don't try to praise SEC schools, but Archie Manning is looking pretty good.
That's
for Texas.
That's a recent one when it's come up. I was in Texas. My parents live in Austin right now. Mm-hmm. So anytime we're out there, they will literally ask if my parents are his parents. And like they see like our credit card, like the name, and they're like, or they'll be like, horns up. And we're like,
no.
Not just like,
no. And like they will just go on talking horns about down. How amazing he is. And we're like,
but it got you a free appetizer, right?
Yeah.
You'll take advantage of it when you can get those benefits. You can use those in that regard.
I only go further than my uncles.
Okay.
Arch now.
That could make sense.
Arch
now. he would like
be brother.
Let's just hope none of them sue you for identity in person.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's just hope none of that sort of stuff happens in that regard. Yeah. Yeah. Mine is not as lended to either of yours. The closest thing I have, so my great-great-grandfather, as the legend goes, was dropped on the doorstep of the Tomasettis, who were Italian, and that were technically adopted Italian, which my sister Jericho inherits that, or uses that as an excuse to say, that's why I'm so loud all the time. So she uses that for it. I've gotten, like, Thompson, I've gotten Thomset, someone tried at one point, someone did, like, Tomasette, stuff like that. Someone did Thumbset at some point, which okay. But I mean, for the most part, Spencer is one of those names where if you misspell it, you're stupid. But if you you can't find it on like the keychains at gift shops and stuff like that, which it's weird to me. You would think Spencer would be a name that they would print on this kind of stuff, where some of them have like the odd names of like Xavier or Charles or stuff like that, but they don't have Spencer.
They don't have Maddie with a Y.
They have like the Madison in that regard, but they don't have like the short.
Yeah. And I'm not Madison.
Yeah, see, so you're Madeline. Yeah.
It's K-A-T-E-L-Y-N-N.
Yeah.
So they never have it spelled like that. Yeah. But they have like the C-A-I-T-L-Y.
Yeah, we can't all be Natalie over here. You're like, I don't have this problem.
She has a collection.
Yes.
She has just don't ask to look at the souvenirs. It'll just be all names on there. But yeah, the closest I've gotten is just some people don't want to pronounce the second syllable on my name, so they just go like Spence or Spenny. Yeah. I've gotten Spenny a lot. Lately, which I didn't start until like when I started doctoral school. One of my colleagues, Dr. Emily Dirks, now she was finishing up her PhD during the last couple of years, and she started using Spenny, and it just kind of stuck among with people in the doctoral program, which I'm like, oh, it's unique. And I always take the approach, I've been called worse. But it's been like Spenny or Spence. My sister uses Spence Head, which, you know, I just I let her go with that. But yeah, I guess it's just mostly on the phone when saying like Tom said, it sounds like Thompson or stuff like that. Yeah. So not as much lended to one of the food groups or one of the botany or professional sports athletes in that regard. But you know, as we all know, we've all been called worse in that circumstance. So
yeah.
Great conversation. Great podcast episode to have you all on here. Again, Savannah said we should do this. I said absolutely.
Was it worth it?
Oh, of course. Yeah. It wasn't even, again, it was never one of those things of like, why, of like, do we really need to do this? It was one of those of like, okay, when and where do we need to get this done? But, you know, especially, I've only interacted with you like very briefly sometimes on game days and like first time meeting either you, Kate, or you, Natalie, and such. And great conversation. Great. Great to have you all. Thanks again for carving out the time.
Yeah,
it was a lot
great.
Of fun.
Here, so. Awesome. This was so fun.
Oh, yeah.
Part two.
You are podcasters now.
Yeah.
You're podcasters
now.
That's on the LinkedIn. Yes. That's where your skills now will be.
Podcaster.
Podcasting.
Endorse
guest
it.
Episodes. Yeah. Request a recommendation. I'll get one of those on. I'll get one of those on LinkedIn. So that'll be a lot of fun. So that's going to wrap up this episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. We are actually off next week. We will wrap up for the semester on November 21st with our final episode for 2024. So we will not have a guest on that episode. We're going to hopefully have all four of our podcast hosts just to recap the Columbus Classic that the women's team is excited to be participating in, and we'll preview the rest of the hockey scene for January and February as well. For Natalie Pisa, as it's properly pronounced, for Maddie Bloom, Caitlin Manning, as well as Jane Watson on the other side of the camera, all the hardworking men and women that make this run so smoothly. I'm Spencer Thompson saying so long from Reese Pfeiffer Hall. Another episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour has concluded.